compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Good morning, Sunday morning.
I thought it was Taco Tuesday. Did I get that wrong?
Good morning, Sunday morning.
Oh, okay. Got it. Thank you. Welcome back. 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. It is Taco Tuesday. So put your thinking cap on. A little update here about the Omicron. Some people say Omicron. Some say Omicron. Either way. It's the new variant of the coronavirus that is sweeping the world. And there's an update here. This is from the UK. The National Health Service in the UK is asking people with traditional symptoms of the coronavirus to get a free PCR test because the Omicron has different symptoms than what you would normally expect. So there are five new Omicron symptoms, including night sweats. Also, let me give you some of the other ones. So let's see here. So these symptoms include, where do we go? Okay. High temperature, a new continuous cough, a loss or change to your sense of smell or taste, a scratchy throat as opposed to a sore throat, a dry cough, extreme tiredness, fatigue, mild muscle aches, and night sweats. So I don't know if that is something that you are feeling. Just be aware of it. They're saying that in addition to the more traditional symptoms of COVID-19, you can add night sweats and a dry cough and a scratchy throat. And I don't know how to distinguish between a scratchy throat and a sore throat, honestly. I would think that either would be considered a sore throat. But that's the thing. I've talked to people who have lost their sense of smell, and for many of them, their sense of smell has returned. But for some of them, it still hasn't returned. In some cases, even a year after having contracted. Could you imagine, Cyrus, going without one of your five senses for the rest of your life?
No. I lost my sense of smell when I got it.
Yeah,
and
so did I.
It has returned. I can smell, but it's not what it used to be.
Do you have the same... Now, let me ask you this. So I had the same phenomenon. In fact, I didn't realize until that happened that I even had it. I just felt, you know, kind of run down, but I didn't have any of the classic symptoms. But when my sense of smell returned, I noticed that I went from not being able to smell anything to certain things I could smell. Then some things, the smell changed. Mm-hmm. And it like there's certain things, and it's hard for me to pinpoint because I smell it at different times, but they smell like dirt.
Oh,
so let me give an example. I love celery. I love it. I love celery. I think most people like celery. I like it. But to me, it smells like dirt. It's hard to explain. It's hard to explain the smell. The closest
you need
I can
to wash your
to
celery off, buddy.
But I mean, there are other things too, and it's like the sense or the way I can now smell that thing is changed. So I don't know if that's like a permanent thing. I don't know if that will ever go back to 100%. How about you? Did you have any weird things like that?
Yeah, I would get a rancid smell. I was like, there's something dead in the walls, or like I couldn't mm-hmm. place what it was. It was really strong and rancid, and fortunately that's gone away. Another smell that's never come back, and I'll be sensitive in how I say this.
Yeah,
when the dog's in
tread
the room
carefully.
And everybody else goes, oh, I don't smell anything.
So it's a blessing in disguise.
Yes. Yep. For that particular smell,
I had one time. What you described about the rancid smell, that happened to me one time, and that was I had walked into a room, and the same thing, just smelled horrible. I thought it was like, I don't even know what it was.
Like looking like around at other people, like, don't you guys smell this?
Well, there was nobody in the room. And so I walked in, and it was an overpoweringly terrible smell, like ammonia, like if I was in a bat cave or something like that. And it was really heavy and oppressive. And I left the room, and I thought, like you, I thought, did something die in here? And so I told Nancy, and she went in, and she couldn't smell a thing.
Yep. Yeah, and that's it. That's exactly
one or two other people who were in the house, they came, I don't smell anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, weird. That's really weird. I heard that that's your brain reprogramming itself. So it's actually a good sign after you have COVID and you've lost your sense of smell. When that happens, it's your brain relearning.
Hmm. Well, I know what your brain is like on drugs. That's like the fried egg, right? This is your brain.
This is your brain on drugs. Any questions?
Yeah, that was a great commercial.
It stuck. I still remember it. I can picture the guy scrambling the eggs.
This is your brain. This is your brain on drugs. And kids, if you've never seen that commercial, you can Google it and you'll find out. I thought it was very effective. Okay, so college sports. You know me. I never...
Nice segue.
Speaking of nothing related to sports, let's talk about sports for a minute. This caught my attention when I saw this a couple of days ago. A proposed change to the NCAA Constitution would force member schools to embrace an agenda of gender equity. How I'm coming to hate that word. Gender equity, diversity, and inclusion as a condition of membership. Now, this is an article by Patrick Riley. We'll get a link posted for you so you can read it. Athletics has long been an important part of Catholic education in the United States, but trouble is brewing. Already, schools and colleges face social and legal pressure to abandon their Catholic mission and conform to gender ideology by allowing biological males to play on girls' sports teams and enter their locker rooms. Now proposed changes to the Constitution of the National Collegiate Athletic Association, or NCAA, it could prevent Catholic colleges from participating in the Premier League unless it takes steps to protect Catholic education's commitment to truth and religious freedom. At the moment, it seems the NCAA has no intention of doing that. Why would they? I don't think they would do that. I mean, should they? Yeah. But will they? No. Proposed changes. This is a hurried effort to update the NCAA Constitution with these proposed changes, with the votes expected on January 20th. So we're less than a week away. It's prompted by legal issues concerning the commercialization of student athletes, financial disparities among the association's three divisions, and calls for greater institutional autonomy. Still, the process could not avoid the political correctness of our time. The latest draft proposal includes a new provision demanding that colleges, quote, comply with federal and state laws and local ordinances, including respect to gender equity, diversity, and inclusion. That might seem harmless to require compliance with the law, but then again, why is there a need to add such a provision with specific reference to gender equity, diversity, and inclusion? There's an agenda here that threatens religious institutions. Earlier this year, the NCAA Board of Governors updated its policies to allow women to participate on either men's or women's teams based on their self-declared gender. And there, of course, is no such thing as a self-declared gender. You are what you are. Men may compete on women's teams if they have completed a year of testosterone suppression treatment, but religious colleges have preserved their autonomy to do what they know is best for their student athletes. The NCAA also publicly opposed state and local laws upholding the integrity of women's athletics, declaring that it, quote, firmly and unequivocally supports the opportunity for transgender student athletes to compete in college sports. No law, in fact, excludes students from participating in college sports, but they may be required to compete with others of the same biological sex. The most dangerous laws go in the other direction. Many states and localities, and more recently the federal government under the Biden administration, have sought to force religious institutions to adopt gender ideology in direct contradiction of their moral beliefs and understanding of human biology. Yeah, that whole science thing. This has been done under the guise of a non-discrimination law. Faithful Catholic colleges, however, do not discriminate against students with gender dysphoria. Instead, they have steadfastly upheld the advances made in women's sports and have protected students morally and physically from the unreasonable demands of gender ideology, while the secular world endangers girls to satisfy activist demands and undermines hard-won opportunities to compete in sex-specific competitions. We've got a story I'm going to share with you in a minute about that. Under federal law, religious institutions currently have some protections, despite recent court cases attempting to erase the religious exemption in Title IX, which opposes sex discrimination in education, but has been interpreted to mandate certain LGBT policies. The Biden administration supports legislation, including the Equality Act. The article has the word horrendous before it, and it is horrendous, but... The Equality Act, which would unconstitutionally force religious institutions to comply with gender ideology. If it becomes necessary for Catholic colleges to assert their rights and fight any new law or regulation in court, a law or regulation violating the religious mission of the colleges, how will the NCAA respect its members' religious freedom? based on the proposed new amendment to the NCAA Constitution, it might be that the NCAA would exclude faithful Catholic colleges. So take, for example, Christendom College or the University of Mary, or take your pick. Any Catholic college could be excluded if this vote goes into, if they vote this provision or revision, rather, of the Constitution of the NCAA into effect. That would make these schools technically in violation of these laws. In states and localities, legal protection for religious freedom is less secure since the Title IX exemption for religious colleges and the Religious Freedom Restoration Act concern only federal law. Catholic colleges do have recourse to claims under the First Amendment, but fighting state and local laws that threaten religious education takes time, and many courts are not friendly to religious concerns when set against gender ideology. So the article asks rhetorically, how will the NCAA treat a Catholic college fighting an unjust state or local law? Will it stand by its members? Instead, it seems the new constitutional provision is intended to push out any college that stands by traditional and natural divisions of the sexes in college sports. This is the irony of the campaign for LGBT non-discrimination protections, whereas new laws and private association rules will likely have minimal effect in correcting unjust discrimination, which has never been proven to be a widespread problem for Americans identifying as LGBTQ+. The nation's majority of religious people will be targeted and subjected to all kinds of legally protected discrimination for maintaining their religious beliefs and truthful policies towards gender and sexuality. If the NCAA does not intend such a threat to religious education, there is an easy fix, another amendment that recognizes the distinctive and appropriate needs of religious colleges. I know what will happen. I'll tell you what will happen. First of all, I do believe that the NCAA will go in this direction. There's nothing preventing it from toppling in that direction. Why would they? But if it should happen, Cyrus, make a mark on the wall. That way, when this happens, you can remember that I said this. If they don't go whole hog and exclude these Catholic colleges, and it would extend to other religions as well, I'm sure Brigham Young University would fall under this kind of a threat. But as an example, if they did that, I'll tell you what will happen. You'll have these woke schools who will say, we'll never play that school. We'll just boycott them. We won't play them. And that's how they become marginalized. So whether or not the NCAA does this, I have a feeling that Catholic colleges are going to be in for a whole lot of exclusion in the not too distant future when it comes to NCAA sports. That's what I see. I don't see a third option, quite frankly. Now, let me give you an example of why this is an issue. Okay, there's, and we've talked about him before, Leah Thomas is a man, and he's swimming at the University of Pennsylvania. He's on the women's swim team. And this is just an example of what we're talking about here. This is from the Daily Wire. A second member of the University of Pennsylvania swim team has reportedly come forward to speak about the calamitous effect that teammate Leah Thomas, a biological man, has had on the team while Thomas smashes women's records in competitions and leaves the women far behind. The teammate told OutKick that Thomas bragged after winning the 200 freestyle at the University of Akron Zippy Invitational. He said, that was so easy. I was cruising. And after winning the 500 freestyle, but disappointed with the time, he boasted, at least I'm still number one in the country. And he said that in front of all of his teammates. Now, keep in mind that Leah Thomas is claiming to be a woman. In November, Thomas smashed, hard for me to say, the record in the 200 free time and the second fastest 500 free time, with both times breaking Penn's program records. Over the weekend, Thomas won the 1650 free by a whopping 38 seconds.
For the 500, women, the records for women.
For women.
Yeah, let's be clear.
Right. But he claims to be a woman. I mean, isn't that all that really matters? Now, if he claimed to be Native American.
Whoa, slow down there, buckaroo.
He'd be in big trouble. Because, you know, science, DNA, things like that. The tribal groups, the indigenous groups, they would say, you are not Native American. You are not indigenous. You can wear a, stereotypical outfit if you want to. You can do anything you want to, but it doesn't mean that you are one of us, and they would be right to say so. So if he wanted to change his ethnic identity, he would be shouted down and chased away. But he can destroy all the women's sports records in swimming because Title IX.
We clear?
Yeah.
Are we clear?
Yeah, we're clear. We're pretty clear. Well, obviously, this is one teammate. This is the second teammate to come forward. Obviously, she's number one in the country because she's at a clear physical advantage after having gone through male puberty and getting to train with testosterone for years. Of course you're number one in the country when you're beating a bunch of females. That's not something to brag about. That's what the female teammate had to say. The teammate said her fellow women teammates were crying on the Akron pool deck because they knew they had no chance of winning with Thomas competing. She said they feel so discouraged because no matter how much work they put in, they're going to lose. Usually, they can get behind the blocks and know that they out-trained all their competitors and they're going to win and give it all they've got. Now they're having to go behind the blocks no matter what. They know they have no chance to win. And it's really getting to everybody, she said. After the first five meets and the Akron Invitational, Thomas has not just destroyed opponents, the Penn Freestyle records are being rewritten by a swimmer who was, get this, Cyrus, he was like a junior varsity swimmer as a man. He couldn't make it in a man's world, or at least he couldn't get onto the varsity. He was second team. The teammate noted that after Thomas won, usually everyone claps. Everyone is yelling and cheering when someone wins a race. Leah touched the wall and it was just silence. When another Penn swimmer, Anna Kalindadze, she finished second and the crowd erupted in applause. That's so it wasn't just
so
the
telling.
Team.
That is so it, telling.
I think it was the people in the
good
in the stands. Could you imagine if you were the swimmer and you blow away some record? You're this guy. You blow away this record. You touch the wall. You win, and you win big, and nobody claps.
They're just a bunch of bigots that don't understand that I'm a woman, and I just crushed my fellow female competition.
All those haters.
Yeah, they're just haters.
That's
right.
The teammate pointed out regarding the NCAA, while they say they care about all of us, our interests are in direct conflict with the interests of Leah in regards to fair competition and getting to compete. While we support Leah as a person to make decisions for her own life, you cannot make that decision and then come and impede other people and their rights. Your right doesn't supersede everyone else's right. It's true.
That's exactly right. That's all we're saying.
All we are saying. We could rewrite that song. So, yeah, she says, we support Leah, and so on and so forth, but your right doesn't supersede everyone else's right. I know that no matter what, biological women will never be on an equal playing field with transgender females. That's the whole point because she's not a female. She continued, and I'll finish with this. We'll take a break. Honestly, this is so upsetting to us because we want to be acknowledged for our hard work, but it seems like this just keeps overshadowing us. Put her out of the picture, Leah, the man, and we have a really good team. We have one of the best teams we've had in years, and that's being overshadowed. Even without Leah, we had the chance to win the Ivy League this year, which is a huge deal for us. We train every single day, and we give up so much for the sport, and I love swimming. I do it because I love it. It's been part of my life forever, and this is a slap in the face that the NCAA doesn't care about because they don't care about the integrity of women's sports. She says, this is such a cloud over everything, a cloud in the locker room, especially the last few days, because we all know how things have changed in the last week. Now they're having to go behind the blocks knowing that no matter what, they do not even have a chance to win, and it's really getting to everybody.
The locker room, there's a whole nother issue.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but here's what Leah Thomas has to say. I'm very proud of my times and ability to keep swimming and continue competing, and they're suited up times, and I'm happy with them, and my coaches are happy with them. That's what matters to me. And I believe it. That really is all that matters to him. I mean, don't you think, and I know we have to take a break, Cyrus, don't you think if you looked around and so you're in that guy's position and nobody's clapping when you win, nobody cheers, nobody says a word, your teammates are angry. And when one of them comes in second, then all the applause come up. And you know that they're really irked by this, and everybody's looking at you like that, like, come on, you know what you're doing. Stop doing this. Would you, I think, I don't even know how to ask the question. I think most normal people would say, you know what, this isn't right.
And then he goes to his Twitter and social media, and he's held up and celebrated, and he's, you know, breaking chains. He's the lady sitting at the back of the bus, or, you know, and refusing to sit at the back of the bus.
Yeah, it's just a terrible, twisted situation. J.K. Rowling is in trouble again for the same thing. And I'll come back to that. I know we have to take a break. Let's do that. And I'll tie J.K. Rowling in. This is, of course, the author of the Harry Potter books. I'm not recommending the Harry Potter books to you. I'm just saying that this author is in trouble again with the transgender police. I'll tell you about that when we come back. This hour is sponsored by Ave Maria Mutual Funds, where financial goals are aligned with pro-life values and fund decisions are based on investment fundamentals designed to preserve and grow wealth without violating moral beliefs. More information at AveMariaFunds.com.
Get connected to the conversation. Call now, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid is on now. Relevant Radio.
Okay, regardless of how you feel about the Harry Potter books, J.K. Rowling, she's the multi-billionaire author of those books, and she's in trouble again with the Twitter mob. This is the way it's being described in the New York Post. She once again waded into the debate about transgender people by criticizing Scottish police for allowing rape suspects to identify as female. So stop for a second, Cyrus, and think about this. So a man is arrested for committing rape. He says, I'm actually a woman. And the police are allowing this to stand. So J.K. Rowling, who has previously been accused of making quote-unquote transphobic comments, she took to Twitter on Sunday. She shared an article from the Times of London titled Absurdity of Police Logging Rapists as Women. War is peace. Freedom is slavery. Ignorance is strength. Now, forgive the language here. There's nothing, you know, inherently terrible about it, but it's a bit, I'll just put it this way. The penist individual who raped you is a woman, Rowling wrote, referencing Newspeak in George Orwell's 1984. She then linked to the news article, which stated Police Scotland said that they would log rapes as being carried out by a woman if the accused person insists, even if they have not legally changed gender. Thousands of fans immediately hit out at Rowling, however you say it, with many accusing her of having an unhealthy fixation on trans issues. You literally have a castle and you spend your time doing this? Podcaster so-and-so says. What a weird hill to die on, Rowling, another person said on Twitter. A third person chimed in saying that Rowling was focusing her attention on the wrong part of the story about rapes in Scotland, highlighting her prejudice and fixation. That person said the vast majority of sexual assaults are committed by men who don't identify as anything other than men. Perhaps you might consider using your public profile to combat this instead. The 56-year-old author was first accused of transphobia last June when she poked fun at an article titled Creating a More Equal Post-COVID-19 World for People Who Menstruate. People who menstruate, Rowling said. I'm sure there used to be a word for those people. Someone help me out. Wumbin? Wimpened? Womad? She's having a little sport there. She said, sex is real, referring to the sexes, male and female. And she is described by her critics as a TERF, or trans-exclusionary radical feminist. Rowling was lambasted by Harry Potter actors, including Emma Watson. She also is excluded from an upcoming HBO Max special celebrating the fantasy films. However, that hasn't stopped. Could you imagine that the HBO is going to do this thing in celebration of Harry Potter and she's not allowed to attend? I can see you reaching for the duct tape.
I just don't understand. And all, and they're saying that she's going after trans. She's trans. All she is saying is men are men and women are women. That's really it.
You know, it actually goes beyond that because she has said publicly, "Nah, I'm cool with it. I'm fine with trans people. I'm fine with that whole gender ideology. But I'm also sticking up for women's rights. And if the word woman doesn't mean anything anymore, or it simply means whatever you want it to mean, then there is no such thing as women's rights. There is no such thing as feminism. What does it mean to be feminine if you're not really feminine? So, you know, I think her thing is, hey, you know, women deserve equal protection. And, you know, like the swimming guy, the women are being discriminated against, all in the name of non-discrimination. It's like the way critical race theory works is that it simply uses racism as a tool to allegedly combat racism. It's a form of racism masquerading as anti-racism. A little bit more here. Many women, she says, are concerned about the challenges to their fundamental rights posed by certain aspects of gender identity ideology. In this latest dust-up, she has also received praise for her comments, many prominent Twitter users thanking her for having the courage to speak out. "Thank you for calling out the insanity," Canadian political commentator Lauren Chen wrote. Andy No says, "Your tweet is brave." Columnist Susan Dalgetty says, "Thank you. You have no idea how important your voice is or how much it means to women and girls." Rowling told Good Housekeeping last year that she's been inundated with supportive messages for her controversial stance. Isn't it weird, Cyrus, that it's now controversial to say that men can't be women and women can't be men? That's controversial now. She's received a lot of letters, she says, since speaking out on these issues, more than 90% of which reportedly have been positive.
Where do we go from here, Pat? What's next? So, you know, when I was, you know, a kid, we were the most progressive generation. When you were a kid before us, you were the most. So yeah. we were more progressive. Now kids are even more progressive than that. What's next? Where is this going to go?
Well, I mean, I don't want it to go in these places, but a few things that come to my mind. Number one will be if you can, and this ties in with the issue of marriage, okay? So the changing of the legal definition of marriage has a lot to do with these other things. You notice that it wasn't really as big of an issue before the changing of the law's definition of marriage. It seems like it seems to be a correlation. I don't mean to suggest that this issue wasn't present. It certainly has been present for a long time, but it seemed to take a new life of its own after the redefinition of marriage. So in any case, here are a few thoughts. Number one is just looking at the idea of what is considered acceptable in terms of a quote-unquote marriage. So if it no longer matters that it's one man and one woman, so male and female, then if the gender is irrelevant, then why is the number relevant? Why would it have to be just two people getting married? Why not three people? Why not 10 people? And have a legal definition of marriage specifying that that is considered acceptable and it's recognized by the law. I mean, I don't see any reason if they're not going to abide by the idea of one man and one woman, then why the number? Why is that important? It's not important if the gender is not important. And then the next thing, it seems to me, would be, why does it have to be a human being? Mm. You know, why not five dudes and a chicken? To coin a phrase. I mean, why not, really? I mean, according to the logic of the left, well, illogic, according to the illogic of the left, these are the same people who will just destroy you if you were to make the mistake of trying to pass yourself off as, let's say, an indigenous person, or black for that matter. They'll destroy you because you have no right to do that, and it doesn't matter how you identify. Who cares how you identify? Ask Rachel Dolezal about that. Doesn't matter how you identify. She was a white woman, and she identified as black, and she passed herself off that way, and she was destroyed because, you know, she did something that was deceptive. I'm not defending her. I'm not defending her at all, but what I'm saying is that the rules are different. So on the side of misappropriating or, attempting to pass yourself off in a way that would make you look like you're a different ethnicity, that's bad. That'll be punished. Science gets involved there, DNA and other things like that. But in the case of marriage and looking at this more broadly, the issue of the transgender ideology, not only is it permissible, you must, and everybody else must celebrate that. Everybody else must kowtow mm-hmm. and worship at the altar of the transgender movement. And if you don't, you'll be punished. I think J.K. Rowling is probably beyond being punished. She can't really be punished. Twitter might take her platform down.
Well, if you're seen reading a Harry Potter book in schools, you are TERF? Is that what it's called?
Oh, they're persecuting the readers of
that's
the books.
That's right. Then? So fans, if you're still a fan of Harry Potter, say that's what you like. That's your
knowing what you now know about the author, J.K. Rowling.
Yep, you are a bad person.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't care. And personally, I couldn't care one way or the other.
Right.
I don't agree with her on probably a lot of things, but I do agree with her on this issue. The reason I say she's beyond punishment is because she's made her billions. They can't take that away from her, I don't think. Maybe they're working on ways to try to do that. So you asked me, where is it going? So the next step, it seems to me, and not that these will necessarily happen, one after the other. I think a lot of this will happen simultaneously and gradually, but maybe it'll pick up steam, will be, well, then if the gender doesn't matter and the number doesn't matter, then why does the species matter? And for that matter, why does it even have to be a living creature? Why can't you get married to a robot? Why can't you have legal recognition of a marriage to a robot? Now, of course, this is all absurd, but I would challenge the people who hold this view and who think that this is a good idea to explain logically what would be a compelling reason to say no to a human being, quote unquote, marrying a robot and
dogs
having that
and
recognized
cats living
legally.
Together, mass hysteria.
Good movie. You know what I'm saying? So in answer to your question, no. I think that's where things are headed. You know, why can't you marry a robot? And if, maybe even the whole idea of marriage itself will fall by the way for many people. It's like, come on, that's too antiquated. Doesn't mean anything anymore. But if I can get a tax break, maybe I'll do it, they might say. So there you have it. Can we fall?
You know how we have like this, the little science.
Yeah, I remember that guy.
Yeah. We need one that goes,
by the way,
science?
By the way, when that song came out back in 82 or whatever it was, that guy looked old. You know, the white hair,
the
mustache. When I look in the mirror now, I see that guy.
I know exactly what you mean.
I'm not quite that far along, but oh my gosh, I can't tell you.
Yeah. When I was growing up, I loved the Wonder Years, and the dad seemed really old to me when I was a kid, yeah. And I'm older than the dad was in Wonder Years. What happened?
Yeah. Abigail Schreier, she's the author of that book that I like to recommend. It's called Irreversible Damage. It's about the transgender craze. On Twitter, it's amazing this is still up. She says, to the female athletes at Penn, and this is referring to the Mia Thompson, whatever his name is, the guy who's swimming at Penn. He's a man, but he's on the girls' swim team, the women's swim team. So Abigail Schreier, she says, to the female athletes at Penn, your school is telling you to keep your head down and try for second place. You weren't born for second place. Girls in the U.S. will soon give up trying to compete at the highest levels of sports at all. Speak up now, she says. I agree. Now, somebody responded to her comment on Twitter saying competition and teammates need to walk out on situations that don't promote fair play. Going along with this will end women's sports quicker than it took to build. That is a very insightful point. So I would not be surprised, and I actually hope it does go in this direction, that the women on the team will just simply walk out. You know, you show up at the meet, you're in your suit, you're in your bathing cap, you're ready to compete, and then when this guy blows away the record, the whole team just walks out. Now, maybe the other team should walk out too. That would be effective, I think, because what will happen to women's sports? I mean, if it just suddenly collapses and you don't have any competition because the players are walking out to protest what's going on. I think that would be a very effective way of handling it, quite frankly.
I like that.
888-914-9149. Let's go to, you know what? Let's go to a break. Let's do that. We'll come back to the phone calls right after this. You're listening to The Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Hey, there's a line open, so now is your opportunity to ask Patrick a question by calling 888-914-9149.
You have a special place in God's plan for the world. Learning about Christ's role in history can change your life and strengthen your faith. Right now, get free access to Christendom College's online history class at principalsclasses.com/Madrid.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
All right, I want to get to the phones. I just also want to read a couple quick comments from listeners. Listener James says, I hate that they attach phobia to anything as a way to shout people down who disagree with them. A phobia is an extreme or irrational fear or an aversion to something. That's exactly right, James. I do agree with you. Another listener, this listener's in Dallas. His name is Dan. He says, what locker room did Leah Thomas use? That's the question that has not been answered as far as I know. And good point. I don't know either. So I don't know if I want to know, but I have a feeling that questions like that are being asked. This is a listener in Columbus, Ohio. His name is Joe. He says, on the waitress story, the right thing to do is to share that large tip, but what is not established is what was the tip policy prior to this event. If it was not a prior stated policy to pool tips, then she was within her rights to keep it, although not advisable. And I think I think Joe is right about that, as well as you, Cyrus. The whole idea of, you know, you want to help your fellow workers, and the right thing to do is to give them part of that. That was from the first hour of the program. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Andrea in Egg Harbor City, New Jersey. Good morning, Andrea.
Good morning, Patrick. I wanted to say that I agree with everything that you said about the gender issues, with one exception, and that is when you attribute this philosophy or whatever we want to call it, this mindset to the left, I think that's unfair because I know many people, including myself, who do vote left, but we are not in agreement with that. And so perhaps maybe you might reconsider just attributing it blanketly to, you know, to the left.
That's a fair point.
Because,
that's a fair point. But let me ask you this question. So I do see your point, and I'm willing to accommodate your perspective on this. But where are the people in the left who disagree with it? Where are they? Where are their voices? Why are they not speaking up about this?
Well, I'm speaking up, but I mean, I don't know how else I would be speaking up. I mean, you know, people obviously were speaking up, or else we wouldn't know that we think about how we think about these issues. But I mean, do I have an opportunity to make a speech in front of someone? No, I don't have that opportunity.
Right, right. No, I grant you that point. I think you're making a fair point, and I do see your point, and I agree with you. But what I would like to see, Andrea, is if there are that many people on the left who really do object to it, they have a duty to raise their voices in some way. Now, it could be just on social media. That's one way. Everybody has an avenue there. But I'm not, mm-hmm. other than J.K. Rowling, and I guess I'm assuming she's on the left. I think she is. Maybe she's not, but my assumption is that she probably would be very comfortable with things like, you know, abortion and so many of the hot button issues that are part of the whole left-right thing. But even if she's... So my point is just simply this, Andrew. I would like to see some of the people on the left stand up and say, this is wrong, stop it. But I'm not seeing that.
Well, it would be nice if, you know, people had an opportunity to do that. Maybe they just don't realize, you know, how they would do that. But I also vehemently disagree with abortion. I don't feel that abortion is acceptable. However, I also believe that God gives us all free will, and he himself doesn't make us do the right thing. He gives us a choice. And while I would never choose for an abortion, and I would hope no one would choose for an abortion, I feel that it's if God doesn't force people to be good and do the right thing, mm-hmm. you know, I don't see that it's fair for me to try to force them to do something. I would prefer, instead of spending so much time trying to pass legislation regarding abortion, I would prefer that more effort is put into educating women as to how heinous an act it is, and mm-hmm. to help them to either have their children adopted out or to be able to raise their children if they would desire to do so. I'm an adoptive parent of 6 children, so I absolutely do not approve of abortion, but yet I feel that I must vote on the left side because the right side is too much in favor of corporations over human rights, and I feel that's an affront to my conscience.
Fair enough, and you have to follow your conscience, as long as it's a well-formed conscience. So all of those things being the case, how would you apply that position? I mean, going back to what you said about how God does not force us to do the right thing, therefore we should not interfere, although you didn't say that word, I guess what you're saying is we shouldn't interfere with people who might do the wrong thing. What about racism? I mean, what about opposing racism in this country in the way in which people are discriminated against on racial grounds? I mean, in other words, if God is going to permit racists to be racist, should we just sort of sit back and do nothing, or should we speak out against it?
Well, I believe we should speak out against it, yes. But, you know, the real answer here is our Lord. And when people come to know the Lord and to live for the Lord instead of their, you know, their self-centered ideologies, that's when we're going to see some real victory. And so I think that's the kingdom of God is more of the emphasis rather than, you know, we're just passing through on this planet.
True. Poor wayfaring strangers. So, you know, what I get frustrated about is when you see religious people, you know, like let's say a gadfly priest who's active on social media promoting this kind of thing in the name of religion.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, when there are religious people who in the name of religion, in the name of Jesus, they're actually promoting perversions, that is very demoralizing because they should know better.
Absolutely.
And yet they do that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really glad you called this morning, Andrea. I've enjoyed our conversation.
Well thank you, and I appreciate you taking my call. And I hope you have a really blessed Christmas.
Thank you. You too, and those 6 children. How old are your children that you've adopted?
Oh, they're all adults now, all gone. I've had 35 years of kids living at home, and the last 2 years I haven't had any, and it's an adjustment. I miss it. I really miss it.
I bet. Well, God bless you. What a generous thing that you did raising those children. Thank you. And thanks for calling. I really appreciate that. Hope you talk again. Let's go to Hannah now in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Hi, Hannah.
Good morning. I was circling back to the whole J.K. Rowling and being called a TERF and all of that. Mm-hmm. So not only is my concern of polygamy, but also where are they going to stop with age?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes, I do. That's part of the end game. Cyrus was asking about the end game. I think that's part of it, is to lower or eliminate the age of consent. I think that's part of it.
Makes me sick as a mom and, you know, just as a woman of God and whatnot. It's just disgusting to me. And I would hope that more and more people would wake up to see what evils are coming and hope that we could try to prevent some of this, especially on the trans front now that they're promoting men on women's teams, and where's the quality in that? And it just, if you speak out against it, then you're canceled on social media and all of that. And
it's the fear, and you're getting to the heart of it right now, Hannah. The reason this steamroller keeps steamrolling us is because people are so afraid to speak up, and they know that they will take hits if they speak up against this, because of social media primarily, and the mob mentality. You know, and the Antifa-minded people are not just in the streets destroying things and harassing and beating people. They're also very active on social media. And I don't mean Antifa, the group per se, but people who have that mindset that they're going to come after you and club you to death on social media if you get out of line. People are afraid of that. And so they just sit back and they say nothing, and the steamroller keeps steamrolling.
I wish people weren't so afraid of others' judgments, especially on social media. I know myself personally, I've had been banned from groups because I was, you know, against trans rights and all of that. And I'm like, okay, ban me from a Facebook group. And it's a virtual exactly. reality website. Wow, you really hurt my feelings there. Not really, but okay. It just mind blows, you know.
And you know the thing that's all the more galling about it, Hannah? I mean, maybe you agree with me, I don't know, but what I find all the more galling is that the people on that side, they wrap themselves in the mantle of righteous indignation, that they're the moral, you know, the guardians of morality. They're the ones who are upholding morality and doing the right thing, when in fact it's exactly the opposite. That galls me.
Totally agree with you there. Okay, well, I just wanted to
you and me
that
against the world,
and,
right?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, you know, it's the world we live in, but I want to end on a note of happiness here, a note of hope and encouragement, and that is we were made for times like this. And to be followers of Jesus, of course, doesn't mean it will ever be easy. Usually it's difficult, but that's what we're here for. We're here to speak the truth in love and to offer people a view of things that the world is not going to give them. And it is true, we'll take the hits as a result of that, but we still should do it because we're here to try to help as best we can. And sometimes speaking the truth is the most outrageous thing you can do in the eyes of other people, and they will come after you for it. But we still have to speak the truth in love. I do believe.
I totally agree.
Well, Hannah, thank you. I wish I had more time to chat, but I've got to take another break. Call me again sometime, though. I'd love to talk to you. 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. We had a line that just opened up. You can grab it. I have to take a break, but we're going to come back. Hour three is about to start. Boy, the time does go by quickly, doesn't it? 888-914-9149. I have a plethora of things that I'm looking forward to sharing with you, including I'm going to tell you which 26 states in the Union will ban all or most abortions if the Supreme Court overturns Roe versus Wade. I'll tell you about that on the other side of this timeout.